Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Amen. Good morning, church. It is good to be here together in this hour, giving glory to God, worshiping together. We have a tremendous opportunity right now to worship God, to lift up His name, to be formed after His likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ, to know the presence of the Holy Spirit, to feed on His word, to be shaped by worship. So thank you for coming to be a part of this, a part of this. Give everything you've got to glorify God. We're in the series Lead Me Home, and I think it's probably kind of hard to keep track of where we are. We started in Genesis. We hit Ruth on Labor Day weekend with Pastor Greg. And then last week was Vision Sunday. Now we're picking up, and I'm going to ask you to look at Psalm 107. Next week, we're going to be in Jeremiah 31 as we're trying to tell the whole story of God's salvation over us and the whole story of God. And so we're moving pretty quickly through the scriptures, but this is such a key psalm today. In fact, I kind of threw a curveball at the team because I said, I'm just going to preach on Psalm 107, 1 to 15. But, the Spirit moved your preacher, and I'm going to preach on the whole doggone thing. And so I'm going to, amen, hallelujah. And so I'm actually going to ask Greg to come up here, and I'm going to read 1 through 15, and then he's going to read the rest of the psalm. But I don't just encourage you to have your Bible open today. This is what you call a learning sermon. I implore you to have your Bible open, to look at this psalm and learn with me, to learn together with others what this psalm has to say to you today. As the scriptures say, there's a scripture that says, it will go well with you. It will go well with you if you have the Bible open in front of you and follow along. You know, the other side of that is, it will not go well for you if you get lost in this message. So let's turn to 107. Let's, as we open the scriptures, open our hearts to the Lord. So Lord, it is our humble prayer. Father, that you would have mercy on your children here gathered. We've come needing to hear your voice above all the confusion, all the voices, all the cries, all the uncivilized talk, all the voices of this world. We need to hear your voice, Jesus. And so we ask that you send your Holy Spirit, that you soften our hearts to receive your eternal word that is able, implanted, to save our souls. So Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, and speak to us in Jesus' name. The church said, amen. Amen. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in the ships. They were merchants on the mighty water. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled a storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it drew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitless land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted up the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Greg. Thank you. Yep. I clap for him because he didn't know he was doing that today. So I think, good job. Lead me home, wanderers. What are we learning of the Lord? What are we learning of the Lord? Well, you did hear from Greg earlier. Yes, it is my birth. Today is my birthday. I turned 50 years old today. Is that pretty old? Does that sound old? Yeah, some people, yep. It depends on your perspective, right? I turned 50 years old today by God's grace. And we're talking about lead me home. And I hope it's not too morbid to say that am I halfway home? I hope I am. I kind of hope I am at least halfway home. Lead me home. Lead me home. We jump back into our series this week telling the story of salvation from creation to fall to redemption to consummation. The whole story of God's good work of salvation in our lives and in the world. And we're taking that whole story from this perspective of lead me home, this biblical theme of longing for home. We long for home. Why? Because God made us for a home. He made us a home, and he made us at home. And when we turned from God, when we rebelled against God, when we ruptured that relationship, then we found ourselves far from home. We found ourselves wandering east of Eden in a world that just didn't quite feel right. Lead me home. Who will lead me home? Sometimes this world feels a little bit at home. It feels like I can sense that there is a place where I belong. There is a home where I belong. We're going to talk about that next week in Jeremiah 31. Can we believe that there is a home where we belong? But right now we're wandering. We're aliens. We're nomads. We're wanderers. That's our message today. We're wanderers. I want us to find our way home. I want you to find your way home. But today I want to do something a little bit different as a church. I want us to sit in the longing. I want us to feel the wandering. I want us to be in touch with the thirst that isn't satisfied, with the hunger that isn't filled, with the hole in a world that just doesn't quite fit. I want us to feel that today. I want us to linger in the uncomfortableness. Why? Because we can find some fellow travelers along the way. We've got to be open to helping the wanderers find their way, to helping the lost to be found, to seeking and saving the lost. And so today I want us to just feel the aching hunger of dissatisfaction. Does that sound like fun? That's your gift to me for my birthday, is to take this time to just feel awful about life, okay? Because I want us to feel this. I want us to feel this. Because it's only when we feel it that we'll empathize with the lost and we'll find fellow travelers along the way. We're issuing these conversation cards, and I'm asking you to really take these seriously, collect the whole set, and to begin conversations with someone who is not yet following Jesus. And this week, you could just start a conversation with somebody. Does it ever feel like we're all just wandering? Does it ever feel like we're all just wandering? It's a common human experience. In the Taizé worship, there's a song in Spanish, a Taizé song in Spanish, De Noche, it's called, De Noche Oremos. I'm going to spare you my Spanish. Here's the English. In the English, it says, by night we hasten in darkness to search for living water. Only our thirst leads us onward. Only our thirst leads us onward. Isn't that haunting? In the dark, and only my thirst impels me. Only my need is drawing me forward. I'm blinded. I'm in the dark, but I'm so thirsty. It's haunting. Do you ever feel that way? Can you relate to that at all? James K. Smith, the philosopher, calls it road hunger, like wanderlust. He says we leave because we long for something else, something more. We leave to look for some piece of us that's missing. We hit the road in the hope of finding what we're looking for, or at least sufficiently distracting ourselves from the hungers and haunting absences that propelled our departure in the first place. We've inherited the pilgrim penchant. He's talking about us as Americans, as Westerners, as believers, as non-believers. We've inherited the pilgrim penchant, but it's morphed into unsettledness, a baseline antsy feeling that leaves us never feeling at home. We're always on the move, restless, vaguely chasing something rather than oriented toward a destination. Road hunger, wanderlust. We are homeless and we are hungry. And when we feel that way, church, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. We'll fall for anything. We're as vulnerable and as gullible as a hungry shopper in Costco, remember? Like, I'll try anything. I'll fall for anything at all. I wonder how you've managed this hunger in your heart, this dissatisfaction, this thirst. Has it ever led you to make a few wrong turns? It's a story of the people of God. We're wanderers. Abram wandered from home. My father was a wandering Aramean, say all the children of Abraham. And the people of God, once they were released from exile in Egypt, what did they do? They wandered. You remember? They wandered through the desert. They crammed a four-day journey into 40 years of wandering around. It's kind of our story that we wander from God. We wander along in this, where you could call it the curse of Cain. In Genesis 4:12, Cain was told, you will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and we are all children of Cain. Our passage is, this passage is a beautiful poetic representation of what it means to be a wanderer. Does God understand the wandering heart? Does the Bible understand what it is to be drawn and impelled by your thirsts? Look at this. Verse 4. Some, what's that word? See? I told you. Sorry, that's not funny, is it? Yeah. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. Some wandered. They couldn't find a city. We think of city, we hear the word city and we think of a threatening, dangerous place, a place where things happen that we don't want to see happen, that we don't see city in the same way that the reader would have heard city. We see city as something where unexpected, dangerous things, sewers can explode unexpectedly, you know, and fire can shoot into the air, and you just never know what's going to happen in the city. But in the ancient world, the city was a place of refuge. The city had walls, you see, and when a city has walls, it has some protection, it has some peace, it has some order, and it has potential for some prosperity. Inside a city, there is an economy happening that doesn't happen out there in the regular rural life where you're just living for subsistence. You're trying to scrape together enough to live. In the city, there's an economy, a trade of goods and services for needs. And when there's an economy, well, now you can live life at another dimension. You can start to experience other things than just scratching up enough food to survive. You can experience spiritual flourishing. You can experience education. You can actually experience healing in the city. You can experience romance and joy and all these dimensions of life that you don't get when you're outside of the city. God has a vision for a city like that. And the wandering heart has that vision as well, but he never finds it. Hungry and thirsty. They were hungry and thirsty, verse 5, and their lives ebbed away. So hungry, so thirsty, willing to try anything. Then what did they do? Verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. They cried out to the Lord. What does it take for you to cry out to the Lord? Look, as long as you think that you've got it, as long as you think you can handle it, as long as there's something in you that thinks with just a little more effort and a second or third try, I think I could try this theory, or I think I could get this step in place, and I can do this. As long as you think you can handle it, you're not going to cry out to the Lord. You're not going to cry out for help. You're not going to reach out to him and say, I can't do it. And you're not going to find help. You're not going to experience help. It's when you're at your wit's end that you cry out to the Lord and you say, Lord, help me. And that is when the deliverer answers and appears. And he delivers, he saves, he straightens the road straight to the city, straight to the home where you always wanted to go. Verse 8, so what should we do? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. This is the thing that's repeated again and again in the song. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with what, church? Good things. That's the Lord, our God. What Psalm 107 does, as you study this and read this at home later on today, which I know you'll do because I told you, you do everything I say. And when you study this, what you see is that Psalm 107, it runs a rhythm. It goes through that cycle actually four times. It cycles around the very same thing. Wandered from the Lord, cried out in need, God sent a deliverer, God saves. Wandered from the Lord again. You see, it's a cycle. It's a rhythm. And actually, what I want you to know is this is the whole rhythm of the Old Testament. As we tell our story of salvation, this is, as you read the Old Testament, you think, I can't understand what's going on sometimes. It's the story of the people of God wandering again, and God sending and helping and bringing back home, and the people wander again. It's the story, this loop. And Psalm 107 takes us through four iterations of it. The next one, as we read, comes with the prisoner in chains. The prisoner is in chains. Chains, a loss of liberty, a deprivation of rights, a limit of what you can do and what you can experience. And how did the prisoner get in chains? Well, the prisoner got in chains by rebelling against God. Rebellion is an act of trying to find freedom, isn't it? Like, I'm going to rebel from you, God. I'm not going to do what you say because I want to be a rebel, you know, without a cause. I want to be on my own. I want to be free. And as soon as you do that, you find that this isn't freedom. The prisoner feels about as free as the young man in the famous parable of Jesus who took his inheritance from his father and spent it all on dissolute living, and he found himself living in the far country, longing for home, but eating with pigs. This isn't free. This isn't free. This is chains. Chains and limits, darkness and despair. That's when you cry to the Lord. And what does God do when he sees you in your chains? You rebelled, now you're in chains. What does God do when he sees you in your chains and you cry out to the Lord? Does he sort of look over you and shout, told you so, right? Kind of figured that's where you'd wind up, knowing you, right? Now, what does God do? He sends and he saves. He redeems and delivers. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Underline their trouble, please. It's their trouble. They caused it. They got themselves into this. And yet the Lord sends mercy. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he did what, church? Saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Praise God. Praise God. He's the one who breaks down gates of bronze, verse 16. He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. He sets the prisoner free. Praise God. Psalm 107 goes through this two more times. The next one is, you know, see, some wandered, some were imprisoned, but the next one is, we do it to ourselves. Verse 17, some exchange wisdom for foolishness. We do that. We exchange the wisdom of God for the foolishness of the world so that we can smartly turn our back on a foolish God who just doesn't understand what life is like in this world. Yeah, we do that. And when we do that, we wind up exactly where this psalm tells us. Sick in our afflictions. Sick of soul, sick of stomach, sick of mind, sick in our afflictions, and finding ourselves staring down the gates of hell. Watch this now. Then they cried out, and verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Are you paying attention, church? The word of God in the psalm, the word of God grew legs and ran down the street to rescue and save and to heal and to rescue from the grip of death. Well, the next group, they wound up going out to sea. They were on sea, out on ships at sea. And when you're out on a ship at sea, you learn what it is to have your life tossed and turned and just you're going up and down and you're pitching side and side. And it's like, have you ever felt like you're like, I think my life got stuck on the spin cycle in the washing machine? It's like, I can't, if I get hit with one more thing, I'm so far off balance. And they cry out to the Lord from the deck of the ship. And what does God do there? Look at this. Verse 29. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Is that ringing any bells? You see, it's when it's at you're at your wit's end, that's when you cry out to the Lord. It's when you're done with yourself. It's so long as you think you can handle it, so long as you think I've got one more theory to try, I've got one more card to play, I've got one more, God, I don't need you. I don't need you yet because I've got one more attempt at this and I'm going to put it together and I'll show you. It's only when you're at your wit's end, when you hit your knees, the deliverer comes in because you say, I need you, Lord. Now, here's the final challenge of this psalm, because something really weird happens at the end of it. Could it be that God would allow things to get worse? Could it be that when you're thirsty and you're hungry and you're lost, that God would actually exacerbate your needs? Could that possibly be? Would God have the gall to do something like that? Look at verse 33. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground and fruitful land into a salt waste. Because of the wickedness of those who lived there. You mean I'm hungry and I'm homeless, I'm thirsty and I'm needy, and I come to church on a Sunday morning to hear you say God's gonna make it worse? Listen, God cares more about getting you home than making you comfortable. Sometimes it gets heavier, sometimes it gets thirstier before you hit your knees and turn to the Lord. But when you do, when you cry out to him, he saves. Trust, he is good. Look at the last verse of the psalm. Would you read it with me together? Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds. There's nothing he's ever done without love. The loving deeds of the Lord. How will you have your thirst fulfilled? How will you have your longings met? Wandering and thirsty, we're vulnerable, church. And remember, and I say remember because I think you already know this. Remember, you are stuck in a system and in a world that thrives and feeds on making you more hungry, that thrives and feeds on keeping you thirsty and unsatisfied. We live in a consumer world. And so we've got these deep longings and these deep needs, and we've also got some great businesses that know how to turn that into great profits because they're selling you stuff. Just watch the ads. We said earlier, behind every temptation is a true longing. Well, the other side of that coin is there are great businesses who know how to turn true longings into true profits. Just watch the ads. When the advertising execs say to one another, sell the sizzle, not the steak. Do you know what they're talking about? They say, you're not selling a luxury car. You're selling what? You're selling acceptance and honor and respectability. You're not selling an iPhone. You ever notice they don't even tell you anything about the iPhone in the ads, right? You're selling connection and family and relationships. You're not selling soap or shampoo. What are you selling? You're selling romance, intimacy, love, baby love. You're not selling Axe body spray. You're selling love all over, right? You see, they know how to connect to the true longing of your heart and present you and convince you to take on a pale and pasty substitute. It's like recipes that replace chicken with tofu. And you're like, that's not right. That's not it at all. You know? I'll tell you a secret. A Snickers doesn't really satisfy. But you bite down on that stuff. You bite down and you take the next step. You get hungry again and you take the next step and you fall for the next thing because when we're homeless and hungry, we're gullible and we're ready to try anything. And so you think, well, I'm going to jump on that. I'm going to try for that. If I can only make executive, if I can only make partner, you keep climbing that ladder until you find that ladder has been leaning against the wrong wall the whole time. You think, if I can just get out of this marriage or get into that marriage, get out of this relationship, get into that relationship, only to find that, you know, who makes up half of that relationship? It's you, and you're going to be in the new one too. You think, if only I can get into that school, if only I can get that scholarship, if only I can get that position, that car, that place, everything that comes and presents itself to you, it presents itself as worthy of the ultimate sacrifice, as something that if you just had the gall and the gumption, if you would just jump, if you would just leap, if you would just sacrifice everything in your life for this, then you would have it. And as soon as you abandon your family, abandon your relationships, abandon the values that matter, abandon your faith, and you take that leap and jump, you're going to land there and you'll have everything that you want. But you know what you need? What happens is when you make that leap, you land in that spot. And you realize this spot, this place, is nothing but the birthplace of further desire. What do I need next? Where will I jump next? How will your needs ever be satisfied? How will your thirst ever be filled? C.S. Lewis wrote, "We remain conscious of a desire which no natural happiness will satisfy." It's how we're made up. It's how God made us. We remain conscious of a desire. Smith says, "The heart's hunger is infinite, which is why it will ultimately be disappointed with anything merely finite." Humans are those strange creatures who can never be fully satisfied by anything created. Church, we're the strange creatures. You see that? A squirrel doesn't have this problem, okay? A squirrel is not running across the street steeped in existential angst. All right, a squirrel gets a nut, squirrel's happy. But you and me, we were made for something more, made for something different. And even though we cannot find anything in the created order that will satisfy that need, and that's by design, we can never be fully satisfied by anything created, though that never stops us from trying. What I want you to see really quickly is, you know who else said the very same thing? Carl Jung. He said this. Only if we know that the thing which truly matters is the infinite can we avoid fixing our interest upon futilities, said Carl Jung, the largely atheistic father of analytical psychology. What I'm trying to say is, can we find some common ground? This is a human experience, this wandering. Everybody feels it. Everybody thirsts. Everybody longs for something. We're all unsatisfied because our hearts are restless and we need something infinite. And the world will tell you that that's just the way it is, and you got to be okay with that. You've got to just manage that longing, get used to that pain, get used to that thirst, because there is no answer to the question. There is no drink that will satisfy. There is nothing that will ever fill that gap. So you've just got to dull the pain, manage the hurt, and get used to enjoying the journey. Just enjoy the wandering about. And along the way, try this new skin cream. It's not good enough. How can we make the shift? How can we make a shift from being a nomad and a wanderer to being a pilgrim? A wanderer is just walking across the face of this earth, only driven by desires that'll never be satisfied, only just impelled by thirsts that'll never be slaked. A wanderer just sort of goes across the face, just trying to find anything that will satisfy a little bit of this. How can you make the shift from that to what? To a pilgrim. A pilgrim is defined as someone who is headed to a sacred destination. They are headed somewhere holy with hope. That's a pilgrim. How can we make that shift? Well, wasn't there some kind of a way in here? Wasn't there some kind of a word in here? Wasn't there a light that we saw in this passage? Look, I want to make that shift. I want you to find your way home. I want you to be satisfied in the Lord. I want your thirst to compel you to know Jesus better, to walk with him deeper. But first, I want you to feel the thirst. I want you to feel the hunger. And I want you to feel it for two reasons. The first is, I want you to feel what it is to wander and be hungry, because I want to be a church. I want us to be a people that empathizes with the wandering and the lost. I want to dream of us being in conversations this week where someone says, I just don't feel like I know where I'm going in life. Doesn't it feel like we're ever wandering? And when they bump up against a follower of Christ, when they bump up against you and me, what they find is not, well, what's the matter with you, you know? But yeah, I feel that too. I get that too. I long for that too. There's something in this world that just doesn't satisfy. I want us to feel that, because I want to be a church that empathizes with the wandering and the lost. Amen. But I want you to feel it too for a second reason, and it's this. It's because I believe, in fact, I can say with confidence, I know that you, like me, are stuffing all kinds of finite earthly things into an infinite gap that will never satisfy. Your heart has a hunger that is infinite, and it will only be satisfied when it rests in the infinite God. How can we make that shift? Isn't there a word? Verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Well, John 1 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wasn't there a light? He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wasn't there a way? Wasn't there some path, some avenue for us to walk? It said, in verse 7, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Come on, church, stand up and sing. You're not wandering alone in the dark. Jesus Christ is leading you home. Amen? Jesus, may it be so. Lord, may it be so. Lord, help us to settle in the discomforts of this world and the life, not to pass by them or dismiss them. Help us to have empathetic hearts for the wandering and the lost. Jesus, you came to seek and to save the lost. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would push every one of us, every believer, out into conversations today, out into conversations this week. Lord, we can be in touch. We can remember what it is to wander so lost. Walk through the dark, thirsty, with only our thirst to compel us, with only our thirst to guide us. It's all I've got. Jesus, I pray that you would push each one of us into conversations. I pray for spiritual conversations this week where we can connect with someone who does not yet know you, who does not know your light, your love, your grace. And when they meet up with the people of this church, of this movement, when they meet up with us, Lord, Lord, I pray that they find empathy, love, grace, understanding. That they would go home at night and say, today I met a follower of Jesus, my friend. I think she understood me. Lord, help us. Lead us home. In Jesus' name.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.